Good? Yeah, we're doing well. Merry Christmas again. This is the Christmas season, and I shared last week how much I love the Christmas season, and I love Sundays as well. I really do. I love getting together, whether you're in person or you're watching online, I love getting together and talking and learning and sharing things about Jesus. I love doing that. And in this Christmas season, we've been taking a look at different Christmas words. I call them that because we often hear these words mostly around the Christmas time. We looked at peace last week, and I think we could all use a little bit of peace. And when we think about peace, we often think, oh, it's just like this people getting along type of thing, right? Well, it is about removing hostility. We talked about it, removing hostility, but it's more than that. The peace from the Bible is about removing hostility, restoring wholeness, and reconciling relationships with God and with others. And when all three of those happen, we get to experience God's peace, right? And this week, we're going to take a look at another word that we usually hear around the Christmas time. It's called hope. That's the word. Hope. A good word, right? We could all use a little bit of hope. In fact, I hope that you enjoy our time together as much as I do. No one? All right. I don't know if it's the dork in me or the dad in me or if those things are connected, but I just couldn't resist using that one. Now, but let's think about hope. What is hope? We use that word. I just use that word. I hope that we have a good time together. It's kind of like this word that we use when we feel like things are kind of out of our control, but yet we are hopeful. We're looking forward to something good happening. It's almost like wishful thinking, isn't it? Right? Well, I hope I have a good time. I hope I get that job. I hope my kids are doing well. Right? I hope something, right? There's something that you just, it's out of your control. It's like wishful thinking. I can't really get a hold of it. And we use it often enough. But when you look at it from the biblical context, which I want to share with you, it's way deeper than that. There's actually something concrete that hope is attached to. It's bigger and more profound than just a wishful thought. Because when we just think about hope from the standpoint that we use it every day, the definition that we have is not just wishful thinking, but it's an optimistic expectation that something good will happen, right? It's an optimistic expectation that something good will happen, but it feels a bit out of our control. But we need hope in our life. And not only do we need hope in our life, we need it right now in our life. And there's a way that hope enters in our life, and there's something that hope does in our life when we actually have the foundation of hope. And what are we putting our hope in? Okay? So here's what I want to do to illustrate hope from the standpoint of the Bible. Okay? I've got this little band here. It's a little workout band. And these things are not very trustworthy, right? It's already been snapped because as I was rehearsing and I pulled it like this, it snapped in my face. So I hope that doesn't happen again. But here's the illustration, okay? I want you to think about this band, right? And I want you to think about kind of like your life and a timeline, right? And biblical hope is founded in something that God has either done or promised in the past, okay? That's this side of it. And then we hope, we look forward with expectation that God will do that in the future or do something like that in the future or fulfill that in the future, okay? All right, here's just a little example. God's people, right? They are in the land of Egypt in slavery, and they are remembering what happened there, and they were led out of that, and the people later on, generations later on, they're going like, oh, God led them out of Egypt, out of this land of slavery, and now we're in this time where we're in exile in this foreign land, this foreign place, and we're hoping God will do something like that, like he did in the past, right? We're looking forward with expectation he's going to do that. However, why would they be hoping? Why would they be hoping? Because there's something that is happening in their life, that they have to look back at what God had done or said in the past, and they're looking forward to God doing something like that into the future. But there's a circumstance, there's a situation, there's an environment that they live in, there's things that are happening that are making these things feel like they're really far apart. And what happens? There's a tension there, isn't that? Right? You can see that there's a tension between these two things. There's things that are going on in their life. They're in exile. And it doesn't look like God is going to come and do anything anytime soon. Yet they keep looking to the future more and more. Well, God did this in the past. We expect him to do something like that into the future. Right? But when is that going to happen? But it's right here in this tension where hope happens. If it was like this, no reason to hope. What God did in the past is happening immediately, right? But when God has done something in the past and it seems like it gets longer and longer away, that God is not doing anything about it, there's a tension that happens there. And even though you're looking to the future for God to do something like he did in the past, it's tough. It's maybe suffering, maybe it's a trial, maybe that you're going through. It's something that's causing tension, but it's in that tension where hope happens. And there's a need for that hope right there. Just think about some things in our life. Whether you follow Jesus or know things about Jesus or what God has done in the past or not, let's just think about things in our life that cause some tension in our life, that hope actually starts being something that we need, right? So let's just think about that. What are some things that are like that? Maybe, an unending pandemic that causes great tension, doesn't it? We hope that it's going to end, right? That's just optimistic expectation that something good is going to happen. That's all that is, right? But when we look at the biblical context, we're like, you know, this isn't God's first pandemic. He's done something with this before. We hope he's going to do something like that in the future. We have hope that it's going to happen. Maybe the unchanging politics. Man, it just seems like it's the same thing over and over and over again. Maybe it's the unnerving media that continues to show us of all the things that are bad and wrong and to be afraid of in our life, right? It just causes tension. Maybe it's more personal, right? Maybe it's a failed treatment. Maybe a failed relationship or a failed career that you're going through and you're just like, I know God has done something in the past and promised something in the past, and I'm looking forward to and expecting him to do something like that in the future, but there's a tension that's there, and it's in that tension where hope happens. Now, that can be very comforting, right? It can comfort us a little bit, like, okay, I'm confident what God did here, and I'm looking forward to what he's going to do in the future. I trust that that's going to happen. But it's always been my contention about what happens here and now, okay? It's fine to understand that hope happens in the tension. That can bring some comfort. But what really I need, and I think you need, is how does hope help right here and now? How does hope help me as I live my life? How does hope help me to get through the tension? How does hope help me to get through this trial and how I should be thinking about things and experiencing things, right? How does hope help right here and right now? Well, I'm glad you asked, or I asked on your behalf anyway, right? But that's my question too. It really is. As I was preparing this message about hope, I didn't want to just leave it as some kind of thing off in the future. You know what? It'll be okay because you'll go to heaven when you die. Wonderful. So I got to wait. I can't have anything good. I can't change something in my thinking or experiencing thing. Like, I just got to wait and suffer through all of this. Nothing happens now. No. I want to know about that. I want to know how hope helps me and helps you right here and right now. So I'm going to turn to what I had discovered as an expert on hope. This guy named Peter, he's one of these followers of Jesus. He had a really up and down relationship with Jesus, kind of a good and bad relationship with Jesus. It's one of the reasons why I love this guy, Peter, because you just never knew what you're going to get. You knew whatever you're going to get, it was like full 100%, but you just didn't know which way he was going to go with things. And a lot of it had to do with a misunderstanding of what God had done in the past and how Jesus was trying to show him what God was going to do in the future, and he just didn't wrap his mind around it. Let me give you some examples about Peter, okay? Peter was a fisherman, right? That was his trade, and Jesus called him out of being a fisherman to be a fisher of men, right? Gives him a new title, a new way to live, okay? So if he comes and learns about Jesus, he can go and gather more people and be a fisher of people, right? Jesus was also going to give him another title a little bit later on. Do anybody remember that title? Tells him to get behind him. Yeah, get behind me, my adversary, Satan, right? Not a good title. You don't want that title, right? Because where's Peter at in this whole thing, right? Why is he being an adversary to Jesus? He is going to be invited to walk on the stormy sea, right? Get out of the boat and walk on the stormy sea, and he trusts Jesus to do this. He starts walking on it, and then what happens? He's got to ask Jesus for help to rescue him because he starts sinking. Right? He takes his eyes off Jesus. He stops trusting that. He gets overwhelmed by the sea, right? What is going on? It's a perfect picture of Peter. Another time for Peter. It's probably one of the most black and white times for Peter. He identifies Jesus as God's anointed one, the very Son of God, the one all the people have been waiting for. He's going to rescue them, all of that, right? You are this Messiah. You're the Christ. You're God's Son. And then will later deny even knowing Jesus, right? I mean, it's just whatever you're going to get, it's 100% one way or another, but yet he has this up and down relationship. Do you think there's some tension going on in his life? Absolutely. I understand Jesus, what saying God has done in the past, and the way you're talking about it in the future, it's a lot of tension there, right? And it's those misunderstandings that cause him to go one side or another. But he writes about hope. Not only hope that we can look forward to, right? And we have this expectation that God is going to do something in the future that he did in the past, but how hope helps right now. So let's take a look at a letter he wrote called 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to go right from the beginning, whether you want to pop open a regular Bible, turn on a Bible, watch on the screen, however you want to do that. And I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to nerd out a little bit, but it's going to be helpful, all right? It helps to give the context, and it's coming from verse 1, okay? We're going to take a look at that, and we'll have to nerd out just a bit, so bear with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Let's just think about that for a second, okay? I know, and you know, that these names mean nothing to you, okay? I get that. I had to look it up too. Like, why is that significant for him to be naming these groups of people? Why is he writing to them? They are foreigners living out there, but they're God's chosen people, and they're living out as foreigners somewhere. Why is that? Well, let me give you the context for this. 1 Peter was written about 30 years after Jesus died and rose again, okay? About 30 years after that. So there's 30 years of people talking about what had happened. To Jesus, and then he's risen, and these churches are starting up, and they're spreading this good news about Jesus. The Messiah has come. We've seen him. We're going to spread that. People are believing that. Now, these people that he just named, these different areas that they are from, are the same ones, some of the same ones, that were there at a festival that happened right after the time that Jesus had died and rose again. That festival is called the Festival of Weeks or Festival of First Fruits. We know it as Pentecost, okay? So here's a picture. It's not a great picture, but here's a picture of that area. You've got like Rome, you see Italy and Rome, they're way off to the left side. And then you've got some of the different names there, right? Cappadocia and Asia and Pontus. You can see some of them there. So those are the people that would come to Jerusalem. You can see Jerusalem down on the lower right kind of there. They would come to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of weeks or first fruits or Pentecost. Okay? Now, this festival happened 50 days after another remembrance festival feast thing that they would have called Passover, which is during that time is when Jesus actually died and rose again. And so there's 50 days later, a group of people that had followed Jesus and are waiting the way Jesus told them to in Jerusalem. And then God's Spirit comes upon them and they start speaking in different languages that are not their native tongue, languages that would be native to Galatia and Asia and Pontus. And do you see what I'm saying? And the people that have come from those areas to celebrate this Pentecost, they're hearing about the good news of Jesus and what Jesus has done in their own native tongue, spoken by people that do not share that same language, right? So after they hear this, and Peter preaches the message and everything, after the festival is over, where do they go? Back home, right? They go back home. But they go back home as foreigners. That's interesting. Why are they foreigners? Because they're living in a new kingdom, a new way of living, even though many of them may be Jewish. Obviously, they're celebrating a Jewish festival. They're Jewish, but they have a foreign government that they're living in, and even among their own people, right? They're saying that the Messiah has come, and they're living there as foreigners. Now, this is going to cause some tension, isn't it? Right? Now, I'm not suggesting that right away maybe that tension was there, but sometime in the 30 years since that happened and they've been living back in their homeland as foreigners, there's tensions that's come up through persecutions that are happening, and Peter is now writing to them, knowing all the trials and suffering and things that they're going through, and he's going to talk to them about hope, right? Now, I say all of that because then the next line actually has more impact, okay? So starting in verse 2, it says this, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? That's talking about Passover and Pentecost all together. And that God's Spirit has come and purified them, made them holy, and they believed in him, the sacrifice of Jesus, right? The new good news that they heard, all of that. Doesn't it have more impact now that we kind of get some context to it of who he's actually writing to, right? Okay, and these people need to have some hope, right? What should they be looking forward to, right? Because of what God has done in the past, we're going to touch on that. But how does it help them right here, right now, in their current situation? Let's continue reading. It ends with, may God give you more and more grace and peace. That's just a line, the intro line. Verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, born anew. It's a new way to live. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. We'll just stop there. The literal translation of that is now we have a living hope. You've been born anew, right? Born anew, a new type of person, a new way of living. There's going to be a new way of thinking and experiencing God, right? There's something new happening, and you have a living hope, a hope that is active and alive in your current circumstances. It's something that it is going to do for you right here, right now. Not just some wishful thinking that you really don't have anything control over of something that's going to hopefully happen in the future, but something that you can experience right here and right now, okay? A living hope. I don't know about you, but I would like to have a living hope and know what that looks like right here and right now. Let's continue on. Here he continues on with this living hope, this great expectation. Verse 4 kind of starts midway through a sentence. I don't know why they broke it up that way. But, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. What's that future looking, right? We have that someday. You will receive that. Something in the future you're going to get, right? We're pointing to that direction. And it's kept there. So, okay, that's good. That's kind of helpful. Verse 5, and through your faith or your trust, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Do you know why I highlighted God is protecting you? Is that future? No, that's right here and now. That's something that as you understand what God has done in the past, he's protected his chosen people in the past, right? Those that have trusted in him. And we're looking forward to God doing something like that into the future. For sure, there's an inheritance that's going to be there. We're going to receive that. But right here and now, as you have this living hope, it's active and alive. That means that you can change your perspective and go like, you know what? I don't feel very protected. I feel very persecuted, but I also know and I trust that God is protecting me right here and right now with whatever it is that I'm going through. Failed treatment? It's okay. God's still protecting you. Failed relationship? God is still protecting you. Failed career? That's all right. God is protecting you through all of those things. That's here and now. It's active. It's alive. It's a living hope, right? Not just wishful thinking. Okay, he's not done, though. There's more. There's more to this, which I think is really kind of fun. And it'll be revealed on the last day for all to see. Verse 6, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. Stop there. When are you enduring these many trials? In the future? Well, yeah, maybe. But he's talking current. Like right now, you're enduring these trials. How long are these trials? Yeah, they feel really long, let's be honest. But what hope does, right here and now, it helps to change our perspective and go, you know what? These are trials, and they're happening, but they're only lasting a little while. That's what a living hope does. That's what a hope that is founded in a concrete way of something God has done in the past, and we expect him to do something like that in the future, that the effect that it has on you right here, right now, is to have a new perspective of the trials you're going through. They're lasting only a little while. Only a little while. That's crazy, right? That's a great living hope that it can change the way that you think right in the midst of all the things you're going through. God is protecting you. These trials are only lasting a little while. Verse 7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. That's current, right? Right now, as I endure these trials, I have to trust a whole lot. And as I trust, it'll show that my faith is genuine. It's authentic. It's real. That it is being tested as fire tests pure gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, current situation, right? It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world, right? Okay, we went from their current circumstances again back thinking about what's going to happen. It's going to be real. Everyone's going to see the way that you're living, the way that you're trusting God may look silly to them now, but there will be a day that they'll be like, man, I should have believed that too. I should have trusted more, okay? So something real that's happening here. You love him. You love Jesus. Even though you have never seen him, though you do not see him now, you trust him. Current? Yes. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul, be the rescue of your life. It's a living hope. It's founded on something that God has done in the past. And you expect him to do something like that in the future. But it has a real effect on you here and now because it's alive. It's living. You can experience it. It's not just wishful thinking that things will be better in the future. It has an effect on you right here, right now. God is protecting me. I have a trust that what God has done in the past, he's going to do in the future. It helps me to think about my timeline and these sufferings and these trials. They really only last a little while, even though when I'm in the midst of it, it feels like forever, and it causes this tension. But in that tension, that's where hope happens. And if hope happens in the tension, then as I endure through these trials, I have a hope that's alive and living, and I can look at things way differently. And I know that I'll be vindicated by trusting in him. All right? Isn't that the type of hope that we want? Something more than just wishful thinking that things will be better in the future, but instead having something that is concrete to put your hope into. Knowing that there will be something in the future, but it helps you right here and right now. That's the kind of hope that I want. That's the kind of hope that I need. No matter what tension that I'm living in, I need to know that's where hope happens. And hope helps me right here and right now. And I invite you to participate in that type of hope, to understand what that hope is, to enter into that by trusting that what God has done in the past and said in the past is true. It's real. It's alive. And God's going to do something like that in the future. And you trust in him and allow hope to surround you, that in the middle of these trials that last only a little while, you will have a joy that's just inexpressible. And more than that, here's the thing. I'm inviting you into knowing the one who is hope, that hope actually has a name. That name is Jesus. Because God raised him from the dead, we can have this hope that he's going to do something like that in the future, as well as giving us a new life. We are born anew right here and right now. I hope you're seeing how that all comes together. And I hope you will join me in a time of prayer. I'm going to pray through a few different little things that you may or may not be going through. And then I'm going to pause and give a little time for you just to silently add your own things of where you need to trust God in the midst of whatever trial you're going through and ask him to give you his living hope, okay? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, in the midst of this disappointing season in my life, I look to you and to your living hope to help me to see things differently and experience things differently. Lord Jesus, as I am experiencing time of fear and of worry and anxiety, I trust that following you will be revealed as what is true, that you will be revealed as the true King. Lord Jesus, as I experience this tension between what I trust and know and have belief in and what just doesn't seem to be adding up in my life, I hope in you, not just some distant thing, but right here and right now. Lord Jesus, you are our living hope.